Our scripture for today that we're going to take a look at in some depth is Romans chapter 13, beginning at verse 1. So hear the word of the Lord. Let every person be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and those that exist have been instituted by God. Therefore, whoever resists the authorities resists what God has appointed, and those who resist will incur judgment. For the rulers are not a terror to good conduct, but to bad. Would you have no fear of the one who is in authority? Then do what is good, and you will receive his approval, for he is God's servant for your good. But if you do wrong, be afraid, for he does not bear the sword in vain, for he is the servant of God and an avenger who carries out God's wrath on the wrongdoer. Therefore, one must be in subjection, not only to avoid God's wrath, but also for the sake of conscience. For the same reason, you also pay taxes. For the authorities are ministers of God attending to this very thing. Pay to all what is owed to them, taxes to whom taxes are owed, revenue to whom revenue is owed, respect to whom respect is owed, honor to whom honor is owed. Owe no one anything except to love each other, for the one who loves another has fulfilled the law. The commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not covet, and any other commandment are summed up in the word, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no wrong to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. This is the word of the Lord. May only his word be spoken, only his word heard. Amen. Living with fellow sinners, the government and us. Generally speaking, I'm the pastor that picks the verses that we're going to preach on, the topics that we're going to preach on, generally speaking. I mean, I work in collaboration, but generally I pick them. And frankly, as I was preparing this message this week, I asked myself, why did I pick this scripture about obeying government? I could have picked some other scriptures. But then it dawned on me in a very serendipitous way, a surprising way, that I really did need to preach on this, Romans 13. I really need to preach on it because I saw how necessary it was and is to all of us. This scripture is about authority, how we need it, and how actually it is a great blessing to our lives. Yes, in many ways, government is a necessary evil. It used to be said in England long ago that no man's property, no man's life or reputation was safe while Parliament was in session. Couldn't that be said today of our Congress? Certainly our property is not safe. I have been taught by experience over and over again that some of the politicians that I have admired were nevertheless faithless and corrupt. They definitely have powerful temptations upon them, don't they? Working on them. My mother, bless her heart, a couple of years ago was singing the praises of her conservative Christian governor of the state of Virginia, Bob McDonnell. Well, the verdict has come in. He has been indicted for corruption. And the verdict came in. He has been found guilty of corruption. Even if he had not been found guilty, he made this statement: I apologize for bringing embarrassment to my office and the state of Virginia. He received, in one way or another, $165,000 from Johnny Williams, a former CEO of Star Scientific. He, of course, wanted the governor and his wife to help promote a dietary supplement that was supposed to do everything. Now, the governor repaid $120,000, but still in my mind, and a lot of people's, I guess, there goes another who betrayed the public trust. Paul speaks God's word to us, telling us clearly that God has conferred authority to those who govern us. Did you listen to the scripture? Isn't that what it clearly says? Naturally, this raises all kinds of questions. What if the government is evil? What if the leader is Hitler, Joseph Stalin, Idi Amin, Muammar Gaddafi? Do we have to obey them? It's absolutely unambiguous that rulers receive authority from God. You can't hear our today's scripture and say, no, that's not what it said. But here's the big but. But God does not dictate how they're going to use that authority. Many governments and rulers abuse this authority terribly. So, can we rebel? I mean, we're Americans after all. That's how we came into being, rebellion, right? In Acts chapter 5, Peter and the other apostles disobey the strict orders of the Jewish Sanhedrin, which was the ruling authorities of that day over the Jewish life, that commanded them not to speak of Jesus. They responded with these immortal words: we must obey God rather than men. Still, most rebellion of any kind against authority is selfish. It neither honors God nor serves other people. It's usually for power, money, to do what they want to do, or even in some cases, fame itself. When people want to break a law because it doesn't suit them, they're showing where their heart is. The apostles did disobey, but they also then submitted to the authorities for their punishment, and they were scourged, they were whipped. They didn't run away from their punishment. So the chief question is, when we disobey, are you serving God? Are you showing love to your fellow man by doing so? Our public duty is to love and obey. So can we rebel? Is rebellion ever justified? You know, I liken it to anger. Most anger is what? Does it serve God or our fellow human being? No. Most anger is selfish. Is there such a thing as righteous anger? Absolutely, there is a thing of righteous anger. So I say on that score, can we ever rebel? Yeah, sometimes we can. Sometimes we serve God that way. Most times not. Why do we need to be subject? By the way, this is a Greek word that is a military word. The Greeks used it in a military way. It means to fall in line. Why must we be subject to the government? Well, what the worst existence on earth that you could ever have, the nearest you would ever come to hell on earth, is to live through anarchy, where there is no operative government. Now, many of you have been to my adult and choir class, and I use Uganda as an example. Uganda, I don't know how many decades ago, was ruled by, well, let's do a little test here. Who was it ruled by? Idi Amin. Okay, we got some older people here. Idi Amin. What kind of ruler was he? I mean, he was cruel. He spent all the money on himself. He had large appetites, if you know what I mean. He had in everything. Everything he did was just horrible, horrible. They drove him out. Guess where he ended up retiring? In safety and security in Saudi Arabia. That's where he went. Died in peace. But when he was pushed out, what happened to the country? Everybody who had a score to settle with their neighbor got out their machete and started after him. Houses were burned down. Women were raped. It was horrible. Beyond belief horrible. Worse than war, because you never knew who was going to come and get you. You didn't know whose side anybody was on. That's anarchy. That's what God would love to save us from. Now, there's also an anarchy in the family, at the home, where children run riot and disobey everything. Have you ever been to a neighbor's home where there was anarchy? Because of my position as a pastor, I've been to homes like that. I'm telling you, it's the worst thing you can ever see in a family. You know, kids undisciplined, it's just terrible. You want to shake the parents and say, don't you understand you got to enforce this? Okay, you haven't been there. That's horrible. Anarchy in society, when there is rioting, when individuals commit all kinds of crime, especially cruel and vicious crimes. People, because of original sin, have the potential to be thoroughly evil, sociopathic. Take off the restraint of government, of police, of parents, of teachers, and you can see people erupt in increasing violence, sadistic violence. Haven't we read about that in our papers or seen it in the media? Government is ultimately there to stop the Gacys, the Dahmers, and any other horrible criminal you can think of. Did it stop them from doing those horrible crimes? No. It stopped them from continuing to do them. Imagine if we didn't have government, police, enforcers of the law. Defiance of authority, when it comes right down to it, is contempt for God. The scripture today talks about going another way, going the way of love. Christians make good citizens because we know we owe a debt of love to our neighbors. A debt. What is our debt? It is what we owe God for the amazing love that we have received in Jesus Christ. It was totally undeserved. It's something we can never, ever repay. But nevertheless, we should strive to repay it. And how does God want repayment? Love your neighbor. Every command God has given us ends up really being a way to love and respect others. So too, respecting authority is showing love to our neighbor and to God. Now, we have a unique government here in America. We, the people, are the government. At least that's the way it's supposed to be. We, the people, are the government. But this is only true in as much as we participate electing, serving, influencing, and watchdogging. Is that a word? I don't know. It is an act of love for you to fully participate in our government, always trying to better it. I want to reiterate this. It is obeying God and serving Him and serving our fellow human beings to vote. We may say, and I hear a lot of people say, well, what difference is it going to make? It's not going to make any difference. How do you know that, for one thing? And also, whether it makes a difference or not, It's what we're supposed to do, to obey God, to try to make things better. The church, meanwhile, must stand apart from the state because we are the conscience of the state. We point to the truth, and as much as possible, we try to hold the state accountable. If we are to act on this scripture, then we must recognize that we have been granted authority. A lot of us have. And for sure, we are all under authority, accountable to someone. We all are. God has shown us in His Word that rebellion is a grave sin. Children, any children in here? Maybe I'll relay it to them back there. Children, you are to obey your parents. Disobeying your parents is like disobeying God. And parents can go on to grandparents. I like the sound of that. Yeah. Until children leave the home. Once they've left the home, it's a different order. I recognize that. But while they're in the home, obey parents. This is what God wants you to do. And to disobey them is sin. We adults are accountable to our work supervisors. If you're in the military, to the officers. We're accountable to principals if we're a teacher, to the charge nurse if we're a nurse. We have accountability. And we're accountable in our community to the laws of our state and nation, those charged to uphold and enforce them. Standing behind every earthly authority is our God. He wants us to experience a peaceful and orderly family and community. This is the soil, the atmosphere where the gospel can really grow and mature and spread. And by the way, God will ultimately deal with those who have abused the authority that He has given them. North Korea's Kim Jong-un. I've been waiting to say that name. Kim Jong-un faces a terrible fate. It is a fearful thing to fall under the wrath of the living God. The terrorist leaders of ISIS, the Islamic State of Iraq and Syria, will reap a whirlwind of punishment. God is watching. Their punishment may come temporally, here and now,